We're continuing a four-part conversation, and today is the third day of this conversation, speaking of the person of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but this has been very insightful for me. I'm hoping that you've been finding it empowering, enlightening, and maybe just leaving you in a better position when you think about the Holy Spirit, that you're just aware, again, of why Jesus saw it so important that when he's leaving, he actually mentions that, hey, I'm going to pray to the Father that he sends another comforter through the Holy Spirit who will be with you and I. Why did the Lord kind of see that so important that even as he leaves, this will be the best option for you and I? And I have to be honest, I'm learning so much in just the last couple of days in double clicking into what it means when you see the Lord speaking about the Holy Spirit. And we started off on Tuesday speaking about the word another. Yesterday we spoke about the word comforter. And today we'll continue in our quest of understanding better. But we're going to be looking at that word comforter in a new way. And if you are a sport lover, if you've played sports, if you're a parent who supports their kids very passionately when they play their sports, or anything along those lines related to sports, you might find this analogy very helpful. And I will bring this analogy up for the sake of us understanding truly the position, the place, and the gap that the Holy Spirit fills when the Holy Spirit comes in. As Jesus says, I ask the Father that he sends another. And for sports lovers and even those that aren't, I think this analogy will make us understand his position even better.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
And this is something that I think many of us, when we think about the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't immediately think of him in that way. We won't immediately think of him filling that role. But the more we think about the function, we start to realize that, man, what a blessing it is to be able to have the Holy Spirit as our coach. Yesterday, we were speaking about the word comforter and what that means, what that looks like, and how the Holy Spirit is able to fill that specific role of being a comforter. Yesterday, we spoke about the word comforter broken down into two parts, and it was all this Greek that we're learning and all these amazing things. But another translation of this word comforter that we also see when we go back and we study in the original language is the word coach. Coach, it's something that we're familiar with. We know quite well the role of a coach. We've tried to play coach. We've had some coaches in our lives. You might have a disagreement with your child's soccer coach, or just relationship with coaches. It can be on, hot, off, cold. It's all over the show, because we understand their role, but sometimes they make decisions that leave us feeling like, man, I'm not sure if I agree with that particular decision.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, we see them do things that make them bring out the best in people, situations, circumstances, make us go, that's why you're the coach. This is why you are in this position. But now imagine reading John 14 verse 16 in light of this, where Jesus then says to the disciples, I will pray the Father and he will give you another coach. Which immediately you kind of go, another coach? This is actually quite interesting, because now it puts back into perspective this idea that Jesus was then in himself with the disciples as their coach. That he was roaming with them in this place where he was their coach, their teacher, their mentor, their leader. This is something that you heard them say often, where they would say, Rabbi, teacher, we hear you say this, or lead us in this way. Where they would go back in the same way saying, coach, I don't understand. I'm practicing, but I'm just not getting the goal right. The disciples would come back saying, Jesus, we don't understand. We prayed, but we still can't cast this demon out. And the coach would step into the picture, the leader, the teacher, the mentor, the miracle worker, this pastor, healer, leader that they had, this Lord. There's nothing that the disciples did outside of Jesus. So much so, whenever they find Jesus doing something on his own, they kind of felt like, whoa, what's going on here? Was somebody else a part of this? What's going on here, right? Because they understand that he is guiding them in every step of the way. He was the center of their lives, and every decision they made was based around the leading of Jesus. It was the focal point of their lives, their attention, and the mentor in whatever it is that they did. So imagine now Jesus leaving, the center of their lives, the center of their attention, the focal point of their attention. He leaves and he says, I'll pray to the Father to send you another coach. And I'm just like, man, I know very little about the pain of footballers when a coach who's been incredible leaves. I know Mamelodi Sundowns knows about it with when Rulani Mokoena left. But I can only imagine then the hope is that whoever comes after is someone who's able to pick up exactly where the previous coach left. And you don't have that for guarantee unless you're Jesus and you're saying, man, the another I'm talking about is exactly like me. That's how Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit in this case.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
So imagine with me for a moment, right? Here's the disciples. They've been journeying for 3 years with Jesus, who's been teaching them everything that they know. He's been guiding them how to do ministry. He's showed them how to deal with religious leaders, how to conduct themselves as ministers of the gospel. He's taught them how to preach the gospel, how to, you know, have authority to cast out demons. He taught them how and when to address demon spirits and how to lay hands on the sick. All these different moments that Jesus has taught them, how to handle money, really being their coach. We see this throughout the Gospels, that Jesus was walking around being the coach to those disciples in so many different moments and times, right? Which is an incredible thing. And then eventually gets to a point at the, how can I say it, the Passover supper. He then goes on to say, okay, guys, listen, it's time for me to go now. It's time for me to leave and go fulfill the bigger picture of what God has really brought me here to do. But I will pray for the Lord to give you another coach. But here's a beautiful thing, right? And this is something that could be really worrisome if you're just in a space where you're kind of going, I'm not sure if I want to trust this coach. But this is why it was so important that on the first day of our conversation, we started off with understanding what does that word another actually mean? That we realize that in the Greek, it's saying another of the exact same kind. It's not the word heteros, which means male and female, which are the same by virtue of being human. And they are different because male and female. It's the word allos. Think about two A4 blank pages that you put out of your Typek pack of papers. Exactly identical. There's nothing different between the two. And that's the good news, is that the Holy Spirit has come to teach us everything we need to know. But if we listen to the disciples, if we listen to the Holy Spirit in the way that the disciples listen to Jesus, if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead us, to guide us, to do what He's been sent to do in our lives, I believe that in the same way we saw it happen to the disciples, we'll see it happen in our own lives, that He will be able to coach us the same way that Jesus coached the disciples. I'm just like, man. Again, goes back to something I said 2 days ago of it's so easy for us to say, I wonder what it must have been like to be a part of the disciples, walk with Jesus as He walked through the earth. But dear friend, we don't have to wonder what that must have been like for the disciples, because that's the thing. Jesus left and He said, hey, the Father is sending you a coach who will lead you, who will guide you, a partner who's in your heart, who knows all the answers of things that you need. He's ready to not only give you the winning game plan, but also the strength and courage to achieve the victory.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
Let's talk about this conversation, the Holy Spirit being our heavenly coach. This is all part of our four-part conversation talking about the person of the Holy Spirit and what that looks like in our lives applied. And the better we understand this, the more we're able to understand why Jesus says, hey, with me leaving, this person that's kind of led you, guided you, taught you, mirrored to you for the last 3 years, and I know how much you don't want me to go, the next best thing to happen is for the Father to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And we're speaking about Him being a coach. But now let's just get to a picture of a coach, what a coach does. A coach is a person who will teach you how to swing the bat well and how to catch well, so that you can be part of the Proteus team and go on to win, like they've recently done just past weekend. Or to teach you how to be strategic and tactical and how to survive and work through a scrum, so you can be a part of the world rugby championship winning team like the Springboks and lift the World Cup 4 times like no one has ever done before. A coach is someone that, if you've got a vocal coach, they'll show you how to sing and how to hit the notes properly, how to bring emotion in how you're singing, how to get you to sing and push from your diaphragm. I know for all of us who are not singers, you might be thinking, okay, this is technical, but I actually remember this from the days when I was in the choir. I'd always say, sing from your diaphragm, and a vocal coach will get you to do that in ensuring that you get the most out of your vocal capacity. They will lead you and guide you. They will teach you. They will advise you. They'll also correct you where you go outside of what they're trying to teach you. They'll instruct you. They'll train you. They become tutors, guides. They'll direct you in terms of ways to live out and prepare you for the upcoming assignment of where God is calling you to. Now, I know for you, you might be thinking, man, this sounds too basic. But honestly, that's kind of the role the Holy Spirit is filling in our lives, to say, hey, I've been sent on an assignment to be with you to the end of the ages, to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to coach you to become more like what God is doing in your life. But here's the thing about a coach, dear friend. The coach isn't there to hit the ball for you. He's not going to hit a six for you. He's not going to get a try for you. He's not going to sing the songs for you. He's not going to act for you. He's not going to get in and run the 400 meter for you. He's going to teach you to be able to do it, but he's not going to be able to do that for you. He'll be there on the days when you do it, just so that you've got that comfort, so he can give you the reminder to say, hey, remember, this is what you do. But he doesn't get into the play with you. But he will be there to remind you. He'll show you what's needed. He'll open your eyes on what's going on. He'll impress your mind with this direction. And in our lives, supernatural direction of what to do, what not to do, when to bring a hand, when to care for someone, when to love on someone, where to improve, where to be more patient, where you feel like, you know what, I've had enough. And the Holy Spirit will say, in this case, I need you to wait a little bit longer. As believers, we must be the people that will learn to take the Holy Spirit's leading, guidance, coach, advice, and follow him clearly and implicitly, because he's sent to be able to lead us. He must become our heavenly coach, and we must learn to accept his leadership and be willing to yield to his guidance, to learn to concede to the guidance that he has, with the vision that he has and perspective and the viewpoint that he has, the POV that he has from God, that's very different to where we have it with what we're going through in our own lives. If anything, and I want to leave you with this, is to say, hey, we must make the decision, be reminded of who the Holy Spirit is, and then make the decision to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Allow him to become our heavenly coach, that we open our hearts to his ministry, that he will coach us, he will teach us, he will be our helper. He will be there to teach us the route to take to work. And I know it sounds very small, but it's very real. He'll lead us and tell us how to travel, what to say, how to pray for the sick, how to love those that are hard to love, because he is our coach in the same way that Jesus was the coach to the disciples. So maybe this afternoon you might want to open your heart to the coaching of the Holy Spirit, and the coaching ministry, rather, of the Holy Spirit. And it might be a good time for you to say, Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit can be my coach. Holy Spirit, come and be my coach in my life. Come and lead me, guide me, teach me the ways of the Father. Teach me and lead me so I can become closer to where God has called me to, so I can draw closer to where God is leading me to. That in moments where I feel like, man, I may be struggling and I try to come up with my own solution, Holy Spirit, I pray that you allow me, that you teach me, that you help me to give you full control as you take the seat of coach in my life.